Rabbi Sai, let's begin. We're up to Perek Yudeis. Perek Yudeis, Pasuk Yudalet. Okay, Rabbi Sai, Perek Yudeis. Pasuk Yudalet, Mipri Fiish Yisbatoi, from the fruit of the words of the mouth. And we did this Pasuk last week, but I want to review it, go over some new things that I came across. From the fruit and the pri, fish, yispatoiv, one is satisfied with good. Ugmul yidei adam yoshivlo, and a person's good deeds are returned to the person. When a person do someone a chesed, you're really doing a chesed for yourself. Ultimately, the chesed that you do, shalom aleichem, the chesed that you do for someone really comes back to yourself. When you say a good word to someone, ultimately that good word will boomerang, will come upon you. Let's see them into this first pasuk Gedalit. Mipri ratzolai me'im pi ish b'divrei Torah yispa im, if through, we reviewed what we learned last week. Really, the mitzvah says a kal v'chomer. If from the words of the mouth of man, what does it mean? The imrei pi ish. The fruit of the words of man's mouth, that means the words that have come out of a person's mouth in Torah and Tefillah. If we know as a fact that a reward for learning Torah and being a spal, a person is rewarded with Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, Alachas Kama V'Kama, how much more so a person will be rewarded with Maisim Toivim. Maisim Toivim are even more tangible. So certainly a person will be rewarded if me'imrei pi ish b'divrei Torah yispa b'avuram toiv, he will be satisfied with good. Kol shekein hu shegmul ma'aseh yadav yoshiv lo hamakom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward a person for his good deeds, or chas v'shalom will punish a person for his evil deeds im toiv v'im ra. It's a very interesting interpretation of the pasuk, because the pasuk says here that doing Maisim Tovim is better, at least according to the Parish of the Mitzudas, is more solid, it's more substantial than Divrei Torah and Tefillah. I guess the explanation is that when it comes to Divrei Torah and Tefillah, you have to do it, you have to be Mechavin. Person is Mespalel, lip service, we all know, doesn't work, doesn't go anywhere. Okay, we know that if you misfal with it, see where there are 10 people in the room, so then there is more of a koyach, even if the person is not mischav, but the koyach ha-tfilah and the koyach of learning all comes with understanding and with kavan. A person just opens up a mishnayis and reads the words and has no clue as to what he's saying, it's not going to do anything for him. He has to understand that the learning all depends on havan, on understanding. The tefillah, of course, we mentioned, depends on kavana. But when it comes to Maisim Tovim, when you give a poor man tzedakah, it really doesn't make a difference what you're thinking in your mind. A person can be thinking in his mind the worst things, and it can be very upset that he's giving the tzedakah, as long as he pretends. It's very good. Sometimes to pretend in this world, if you can pretend in this world, it's pretty good. I once had a discussion with someone, and I said, I want a chaderim in yeshiva. He was not well, and he was highly medicated. Highly medicated, different nisyonos, and some of the chaverim were involved, and we said to someone that he walks around, and if only people knew what he's taking. To the world, he seems pretty good. He seems pretty stable. Everything seems fine and well. But if only people knew the medication that he's taking, the dosages, people wouldn't believe it. So this Talmud Chacham said, believe me, if you can pretend in this world, it's pretty good. No one knows what's going on by someone else. You can live your life pretending. It's a tremendous madrigal. When it comes to giving tzedakah and gemilas chasadim, all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is you to pretend. Just do it. You give the tzedakah, do the chesed, do the maisim tovim, get the job done. And for that, for the maisa, you will be rewarded. And that, to some degree, is according to the parish of the Mitzudos, is even better than tefillah and divrei Torah. Because tefillah and divrei Torah, it's all, your reward all depends on your kavan. If you do it l'shem shemayim, you mechav l'shem shemayim, then it works. If you're not mechav l'shem shemayim, you don't say what you learn, then you're not going to get a credit. But it comes to Maisim Tovim, you just have to just physically go through the motions and you will succeed. That's what they said, there is between men and women. Men, a person learns Torah, So how much schar will he get for learning? Persons in koilo. He only gets schar for the amount of time he spends learning. Zuntheit. If he takes a coffee break, if he goes to the Beis HaKisei, if he takes a telephone call in the middle of Seder, he's not going to get reward in the next world for the coffee break, for the Beis HaKisei, for the telephone call. But his wife, that was Moiser Nefesh, to let her husband go and sit and learn, so she gets credit for everything. Because as far as she's concerned, you should be learning 24/7. You should be learning the entire Zman. You shouldn't waste a second. So she was Moiser Nefesh. She gave up what she could have had different if her husband would not be in the Kollel from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. And he's a sloucher. He's in a lot of trouble.
Does the father-in-law who supports him also get the same salary?
I guess so. I would assume so. They are committed to the cause. They're committed, and they are not meichel on 1 second of batala. But unfortunately, it's not so simple to sit every single moment. We all know there's a famous story with the Gra and the Dubna Magid. The Gra would invite the Dubna Magid to come into his home and give him musar. So the Dubna Magid was hesitant to give musar to the Gra. How could the holy Gra, and give musar? So the Gra insisted. He says, I have to hear musar. I don't hear musar. So he once said to the Gra, who do you think you are? You sit here in your attic. You sit and learn the whole day. You have no nisyonos. You want nisyonos. You want to achieve greatness. Go out into the street. Go into the market. And you'll have nisyonos with shmiras seinayim and nisyonos of gezel and gneva and ribis and dealing with people and speaking lashon hara rechilas. You want to become great? Well, who do you think you are? You sit here, you see Yom Valayla, learn Torah. It's no big gedula. Go out into the real world. That's where the real nisyonos are. So the grower was Makabal the Musar. He listened very carefully to the Musar, who made a roshim on him. And then when the session was over, he escorted the Dubna Magid out to the street and he said, you know, the Musar was Gavaldik and I Makabal. I just want to let you know something. You know, what you told me is true. But you know, you should also be aware, it's a big kunz to be able to sit and learn the whole day without being alive. It's also a big kunz to sit the whole day and not go out for a coffee break, not pick a telephone call, and not be mavato. Believe me, not so easy. When you go to work, we all work, so you can fool people. You make believe you're working, you're really surfing the web, you're really doing this, you're really doing that, you can be doing 10 things at the same time, you can cut corners. You can cut corners, always. What? What's the end? What?
After that,
yeah.
Musar again.
Yeah, oh, I don't know that part. Yeah,
I couldn't to be the Gra with your cup, with everything, and with all that.
Yeah.
After that, the Gra was Makabal. He went to
the Golas. He went to Golas. Yeah. After that part of the story. Okay, interesting. Okay, that's Makabal. Very interesting to go into Golas. All right, this is another time. But so here in this Rashi is a very, this is a fascinating. The Siddur says that if we are a maminim, we're brought up with this emuna, it's put into us that for Torah, for tefillah, and the divrei Torah, we receive reward. That's really how we're brought up from the crib. Al achas kama v'kama, how much reward a person will receive for his maisim. Maisim are more real to a certain degree. They're physical. That you accomplish. There's benefit. There's immediate benefit to the recipients of your kindness, and there's immediate harm to the people who suffer from evil deeds. And certainly, the Shpocha will pay the person. That's what we learn from this pasuk. It's a kalchem mipri fiish yisbatoiv al achas kama v'kama ugemul yidei adam yashiv lo. An amazing parish according to the mitzvahs. Okay, the Rashi says mipri yish pre-piyish mischar piyam shal oiske Torah, from the reward of the piyam shal oiske Torah, oichlim toy boilam hazeh v'akeren kayemes lo lelam haba, and the keren is kayemes lo lelam haba. So seemingly, I'm not really exactly sure what Rashi means. Rashi's saying, is he reading that into the pasuk? Is that there's going to be the pre is the piyish, and then ugmul yidei adam is the keren. Seemingly, that's what the mitzvah Rashi wants to say. The gmul yidei adam yashivlo, the full reward for a person's deeds will come in olam haba will be returned to him. But in this world, all you're going to get in this world is the pre, the fruit. Elu dvarim shadim ochel peroseim by lam hazeh v'akeren kayemes loyla lam haba. And the entire pasuk is only discussing, according to Rashi, simply, I'm not sure this is the pshat, it's only discussing Torah. Oiskei b'Torah can mean.
So then, according to Rashi, it's like this: pre P is used by Elam Hazeh, Elam Haba.
No, Elam Hazeh.
But if you're doing things Chesed or
no, it's how Rashi is going to say that's the Mitzudos.
No, but Rashi doesn't talk about the second half of the pasuk.
No. So that's what I'm trying to suggest. I'm trying to suggest that since Rashi says pre, the first word of the pasuk is the pre. Elu dvarim shadim ochel peroseim. Boil, and where's the peroseim in this world? Yispatoiv in this world. Ugimol is the Karen, the Akaren Kayem Eslo. That's the Gemul that will be Yoshiv Lo in Olam Haba. Now, but the only limitation in this interpretation is that since the Pasuk subject is the P-ish is Talmud Torah, we're only discussing the reward for learning Torah. We're not discussing any. So we're not discussing whatsoever Maisim Toivim. The Mitzudas is clear as day. The pasuk includes this two concepts: there's Torah and there's Maisim Toivim. Rashi says no. We're only discussing Torah, Talmud Torah, and for Talmud Torah there's Peros and there's Keren. The Peros is Yispa Toivim in this world, and the Keren is Yoshev Lo, is self understood to be in Olam Haba. Okay, now there are a few interesting midrashim on this pasuk. First midrash is this pasuk is darshan in reference to Reuven. Reuven, I started with, is that this pasuk tells us that a person, that whatever person does in this world, it comes back to him. The person's maisim toivim boomerang towards him, and his good words also are returned towards him. And here is the example of the midrash. Reuven was the one that began in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks from now, Parshas Vayeshev saved Yosef from being killed by the brothers. Vayishma Reuven, Vayatzilehu miyodom, Vayomer Loi nakenu nafesh. Let us not kill Yosef at Tzadik. Let us put him in the barn. Let us sell him to the Yishmaelim, whoever will figure out what to do with him. But at this moment, he ran away and then he had to do tshuva. But in the meantime, he was the one that did indeed prevented the brothers, at least initially, from killing Yosef at Tzadik. So the Medrash Yalkut Shmoni says, what was his reward? The reward was that when Moshe Rabbeinu began to set aside Orei Miklat, the 48 cities of Ari Miklat, at least the three on the Eivor Hayarden, Moshe Rabbeinu, except three on the Eivor Hayarden, whose chelek was Eivor Hayarden, Reuven, God, Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe. First came Reuven. The reward was She'ein Mafrishin Ari Miklat, Betchila, Ela Mitchumecha. Ari Miklat is to save people from death, from the Goyal Hadam. It's the same Indian as what he did for Reuven. Shenemar es betzer bamidbar b'eretz hamishar lo Reuveni. Reuven was the first. That was set aside for Reuven. And then the pasuk says mipri this, and then the medrash Yalkut Shmoni connects that this observation. Why was Reuven zoicha to be the first one to Ari Miklat? Because he was the one that saved Reuven to fulfill what it says in the pasuk, Mashe Nemar, Mipri Fiish Yispatoiv. From the fruits of the words of man, Reuven opened up his mouth. He had the courage to go open up his mouth and go against his brothers. Yispatoiv toiv is other people in this world are safe from death. We don't appreciate, it's really hard for us to relate to what are exactly Ari Miklat. We don't have Ari Miklat in this generation. We don't really understand what it's all about. The whole thing is really lost to us. Okay, we live in a very complicated different world, but the person who killed someone b'shoigeg, the Goyal Hadam, the relative, it's within his rights. It's within his rights to murder, to avenge the death of a relative. But it was an accident. What do you want from the poor guy? So there's no such thing as a real accident. It was takan oynis, a pure accident, whatever that means, a pure den in a chanami, you don't have a right. But a shoigeg, you're chopping with an axe in the forest, and the blade falls off the handle, and you could have been more careful. You could have inspected the axe before you chopped wood. You're guilty. What do you mean I'm guilty? I've done this 100 times. What are the chances that someone's going to be walking over here? I'm going to kill someone with the blade? No. So there is some degree of guilt, whatever this means. And therefore, the relatives have the right in their power to avenge the blood of the victim and to kill the perpetrator, to kill the rotzeach. And the only source is this very bizarre concept, Ari Migla. Why? If the person is guilty, let him die. Let him be killed. So this Ari Migla, once is Ari Migla, so you shouldn't be able to kill him anywhere. It's so very hard to understand why Ari Miklat is going to be a zone that's off limits to the relative. But whatever it is, it's a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done, and it all starts with the chesed of Reuven. We don't really connect the dots. I don't think the average person, when you learn the sugi of Ari Miklat, Masechta Makos, you even connect, you go to the whole Masechta. Does this have anything to do with Reuven? The Medrash says, yeah, Reuven's the first one to introduce into this world this concept of Ari Miklat. It started with him. Okay, then there's another very beautiful Medrash. So we spend this, which this hits home because we spend a lot of time on this in Sefer Daniel. Chananya Mishal Vazaria. Who were Chananya Mishal Vazaria? They were descendants, they were from Sheva Yehuda. They were from the seed of Malchus. They were related to David, descendants of David. And they were saved. Why were they saved? The Medrash says they were saved in the zechus of their ancestor Yehuda. Yehuda saved three people. Who did he save? He saved Yosef. He also had a chelik in saving Yosef. And he saved Tamar and her two children. Let me read the Medrash of Racher of Yeshua. Dich the sichnim shem Rabbi Levi Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yehuda ata yitzalta shalosh nefashos. Okay, so in this pasuk, who are the three? Tamar u'shnei vonecha. Okay, min or the echad min habar. So three from the or, from the fire, and one from the pit. Yosef, Yoske Yehuda was the one that after Reuven left, Yehuda let's send him to the Yishmaelim. After Reuven left, he was still in danger. He still could have been killed by the snakes, and the brothers could have decided just to abandon him there and let him die there in the pit. And Yehuda was the one that said, let's sell him to the Yishmaelim, the Nidonim, and so on and so forth, to Mitzrayim. So he also gets credit. So we have a bar and we have or. The Kivshan Shalesh that Nebuchadnezzar threw Chananya Mishal Vazaria was a bar, was a pit, a great pit in the ground filled with fire. So the combination of what Yehuda did contributed. No,
the pit is the
Neil, the Guv Shalaroyos.
The fiery furnace is the
You're right. I made a mistake. I didn't read the end of the Medrash. You're right. Chananya Mishal Vazaria min Ha'or. The Echa Doniel Migov Harais, correct. So four people, Zelu Mazeh, Yehuda on the two, Zerach and Peretz, that was saved from the Yos, that was Chananya Mishal Vazaria, and Doniel, the Guv Shalarayos, the pit was saved in the Zchus of saving Yosef, to fulfill what it says in the Pasuk, Mipri Fi Ish Yispatov, from the fruits of the mouth of man. The man here is Yehuda. His parent gave forth a command not to kill his brother Yosef. Years, generations later, that zchus was brought up before HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save his descendants, Chananya, Mishal Vazaria, and we don't appreciate how much you do. You do a chesed. We have no hasaga. Chesed, it's a seed, and the seed can come to finally develop and blossom hundreds of years later. Decades later, and that's us. We suffer. We always wonder. Sometimes we're in a state of danger, or we're in a situation where it's so easy for something to go wrong, to slip out of our hands, and then just hashkach. Why? And we have no clue. We really have no clue that this might be. This is the fruits. This is the payday for something that our great grandfather may have done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has saved that chesed for this generation. We mentioned with Avraham and Yaakov. We mentioned that the only reason why that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to say to Kata Hashem, Zichor La Avraham Li Yitzchak Li Yaakov. We had this a few days ago, and not destroy the Jewish people after the Chet Hegel, was only because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did not insist on receiving the reward for their good deeds in their lifetime. They said, Ribbono Shel Olam, let our mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, be an investment for the future. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he took advantage of that. And if not for, hadn't been paid, it would have not been, Moshe Rabbeinu would not have been able to use their zchus and their zecher for to save us the time of the chayit ha'egel. Okay, let's go to another idea. The Medrash, this is another Yalka Shmuel, also darshan, this pasuk in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say in Aleinu every single day, a few times a day, Ki Hashem Elokechem Hu Elokim Ba'ashamayim Mimal V'yalo Oretz Mitochas Ein Od. Okay, there are different midrashim, one midrash at a time. The first Yalka Shmuel says the focus is Ein Od. Moshe Rabbeinu added those two critical words. Moshe did not need to say Ein Od. It's Pashat. Hashem is Bashamayim Imal, he's the God of Bashamayim Imal, and he's the God in the Aretz Mitochas. A God by definition means Einot. That's the definition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashmai Yisrael Hashem Elohim Hashem Echad. The fact that Moshe exerted himself to say the words Einot, Hashem said to him, Mipri Fi'ish Yispatoiv. You also deserve this title, Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, V'loikam Navi B'Yisrael K'moshe Od. It would never happen. There would be a Navi in Klal Yisrael like Moshe. And I'm also going to give you, we can make that observation ourselves. No, we can go, we can sit down and calculate all the Nevi'im, go through all the Nevi'im and say who's the greatest, say Moshe was the greatest. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu went through the effort of saying, making it clear as day, V'loikam Navi B'Yisrael K'moshe Od, in reward for Moshe Rabbeinu going through the effort of saying Eino, which wasn't necessary, to fulfill what it says in this pasuk in Mishlei, Mipri Fi'ish Yispatoiv. Another example, now I don't really know what this means, I just throw these things out for your input. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the same pasuk, Hashem who looking by Shemayim Mimal Goretz Mitochas. Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, what are you saying over here? What are you talking about? Bishloima, he's saying Hashem is Ve'alo Oretz Mitochas. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you live here on this world. You live in this world, Olam Hazeh. You can observe what's going on, and you're entitled to make that statement that Hashem is the God. He's in control of what's happening over here on this world. But Moshe, how do you know what's going on in Shemayim?
Because he was up there for 80 days.
He was up there, but it's a good kasha. I thought of the same kasha. L'chor, the answer is Moshe, when he went up three times for 120, he only had limited. He only was in one limited area. Moshe didn't have access. He didn't have tourist rights. He didn't have, you know, they go on the tour of the White House. They don't take you in. They don't take you into the Oval Office. They take you. They just show you. What?
Unless you go on your own.
You jump the gate. Unless you jump the gate and you go through six layers of security until you're taken down by an off-duty FBI agent. But you know, Moshe didn't have full access. So Hashem said to Moshe, and this is a very bizarre midrash. Moshe, he made a statement, Ki Hashem hu Elokim b'ashamayim imal. Moshe, what are you talking about? It's true. It's taka true. But how do you know? Where do you come to make these statements when you don't know what you're talking about? I'll read you the words. It's very bizarre. It's a Nicha, Ki Hashem Elokim b'ashamayim imal, Nicha bo'aretz, Shema b'shamayim. It's Nicha b'aretz. Hashem says to Moshe, "Okay, I give it to you that you can make that statement because you're an observer of this world." But Shema b'shamayim mimal.
Never in Australia or in the United States.
In the civilized world, I guess, from what a man can accomplish in this world, he understood. Shema b'shamayim mimal. And the parish here, okay, he's over here, he's injecting some parish in this sefer. V'chi ha'yisa b'shamayim v'ri'isa. There are three words here, which is not really clear what these three words mean. And he over here, the mefarish of this sefer over here, who's quoting this medrash, Yalkut Shmoni, he's giving a parish. V'chi ha'yisa b'shamayim v'ri'isa she'hashem moishel sham. You really know what's going on over there that you can make such a statement? Ella, now, okay, I don't understand the conclusion. I don't understand the conclusion, but basically what it says over here is Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a good thing that you did. You gave me, I give you credit for making this statement. I'm very pleased, and I'm going to reward you. And the reward is that your descendant, who is Yecheskel, that's what it says. Yecheskel was a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm not aware of this, but that's what it says. Yecheskel. Okay, must be to some degree, but then from Aaron. It should have been then from Aaron. I don't know what it means then. Ella, if he made from the mother, you know, all different halachim how to answer these questions. But this is what it says here. Ella, if he sha'at amarta ma deloy chaz, since you were kind to have faith, I guess it borders on emunah to say what you did not see, what you could not possibly see. I swear to you, Shabincha, your child, who is Yecheskel, Oimed, he will stand and see what you did not see. Your Yecheskel, my Simer Kava, Haftarah, the first day of Shavuos. Yecheskel, Oimed, Viroya, he will see, Mashaloi Rohanavim Shenemar, Niftichu Hashamayim, Voere Maroi Selokim. The heavens were open and Yecheskel was Zoicha to see. So it's an amazing medrash. You learn Tanakh and you learn that Yecheskel was Zoicha to Maisa Merkava. So you wonder, what did he do to deserve this? What did he do to deserve this, Yecheskel? Yecheskel, Zoicha to Maisa Merkava, and Achanami, according at least to this medrash, Ayin Panim Torah, it wasn't this is chus. It was payday time. What was the payday? Mizgzeda, Moshe Rabbeinu. He said publicly to the world in the Torah, "Ki Hashem looking by Shemayim Imal." Moshe was a Maimin. Ani Maimin was the Maimin Shebemaminim. He was in the ways of Am Ravinu. Ki Hashem is by Shemayim Imal. Menele, your Enikol Yecheskel will taka see what you believed in, what you believe in. Maimin.
Let's see some there.
Well, we said that. Okay, but Enechanam. We mentioned the Kasha. Moshe was in Shemayim. What more do you want? He was there for 120 days. So we have to say that.
Not just that, but he saw that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is on the Kisei.
Okay, what does it mean? V'risa sachor ponai lo yirohu. V'risa, Hashem, I'm going to pass by. Mikisisa. V'risa ponai. Okay, but obviously the answer appears to be that it was limited. He saw incredible things. Haha, nothing to talk about. Okay, he saw incredible things, but it was limited. It was Yecheskel saw more. That's the pshat. Okay, you can play with this. But Yecheskel saw more. Why was Yecheskel zeicha to see more? Not in his zchus, in the zchus of Moshe. Why? To fulfill what it says in this pasuk, mipri fi ish. Who is the ish? V'ha'ish Moshe. Ish Moshe. He said something which made a kiddush Hashem. In his zchus yispatoiv, there would be a man, a descendant, will be satisfied with toiv. The ultimate toiv is to see Hakadosh Baruch Hu, to come close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, one more medrash in light, and then that ties this pasuk in the beautiful medrash. The role of Moses, Chana. Chana, everyone knows this, was the first one that called Hashem Tzavakos. Who was the one that invented the term Hashem Tzavakos? Hos, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. There's a tzava. There's a tzava in Shemayim. There's the organ. It's a very interesting concept. This tzva means it's organized. There's seder. All the malachim don't just operate independently. There is order. There is a tzva hashamayim. The one that made this statement, that came to this realization, was Chana. Chana was the first one that said at kilastini with the words Hashem Tzavaka. It's the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Apos, Segid Aleph. She's the first one that made the statement. Hashem was very impressed. It's a term that we take for granted. It's Kodesh. A Sefer says that Tzavaka, he has to say L'shem Kedushas Hashem before you write the word Tzavaka. So you don't say L'shem Kedushas Hashem, if not mistaken. Sefer Torah is possible. The same in the Torah and Torah, the word Tzavaka? I don't think so. In Nach, in Nevi'im. In Nevi'im, you have to say Tzavaka. It's Kodesh. One of the Shemos that's Kodesh, it was Yichana, and a reward. In reward, what is she remarried in reward? Shmuel, her son Shmuel, was the one who began his first nevuah. Ko yamar Hashem Tzavakos. So again, connecting the dots, that the reason why Shmuel was zeicha to nevuah, and it appears in this medrash that one of his early nevuahs was the word Ko yamar Hashem Tzavakos. He was zeicha to that nevuah. Was in the merit of his mother. It wasn't his chus. It was his mother's chus. His mother said something. He had the benefit of mipri fi ish. Here it's not really an ish. It's an isha. Okay, good kasha. Yispa toiv. Her son Shmuel was zeicha to this incredible prophecy. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk tes vav derech avil yashar. be'enav. The foolish person, his derech is always yashu be'enav, v'sheinea le'etza chacham. We did this last week also, we didn't do the midrash, that's why I'm going over it again. Let's look at Pasuk Tesvav in the Mitzudos David, the yashu be'enav. An evil, a foolish person, always thinks that what he's doing is correct. He does not need to take advice, to seek advice, counsel from his superiors, from someone. No one in the world is what to tell him, offer him any good advice. Ki machzik atzmoy l'chacham, he holds himself to be a wise man. However, v'shonev k'oimer, this means to say, avol loikein hu, when it comes to a chacham, the way of the fool is incorrect. It's not a derech of life, not to seek advice. Even the greatest of the great go and seek counsel from other people to take courses, someone has to take a critical review of your progress, of your success. There's not a derech. It's not a derech just to go on your own derech hayashar to think that what you're doing is correct. I always found that there's a very big mile in having an institution where you have more than one person in charge. It's a very difficult balance. I mean, you can't say it all depends. So many variables. But we have one person in charge. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. When you have a balance, when either two people, so then everyone is watching their back. So then there's a certain balance. So then no one gets too carried away. On the other hand, shutfei debay kedera debay shutfei a pot like kariv lechamivi, a pot that belongs to partners is not called not hot. Let him take care of it. Let someone else take care of it. So this is always the very difficult balance of like having yeshiva. There are some yeshivas traditionally, today it's becoming extinct, but there are certain yeshivas that are public yeshivas, the public trust.
What's that?
A public trust where the yeshiva has a board. It used to exist. RJJ, I assume, was a public trust. It wasn't privately owned by any individual.
Tarvadas
still is. Yeshiva University. These are yeshivas that are public trust. So these yeshivas, so there's no one person in charge. There are people have positions, and people come and go, and they have terms, and contracts, so on and so forth. And then there are privately owned institutions. And there's always a debate. There's always a debate which institution is more successful. When you have probably the big yetzar is nepotism. I mean, it's just pure family, and not everyone in the family is roy to be malum makom of their predecessors, and that's a recipe for disaster. And there are many examples of this that we know of in this generation. So where do you draw the line? Each one has milos, each one has chesronos. There's no perfect world, and that's what this pasuk over here says. The balance is derech evil yashar be'enav v'shemeya le'etza chacham. Sometimes you have to be a shtickle evil also. To succeed in life, you have to be a fool sometimes. Right? If you're just too much of a chacham, you can outsmart yourself. You have to have a shtickle balance. A shtickle balance is a healthy recipe. No?
See it in Rashi. The Yomer Elokim Nase Adam.
And Hashem is the exception.
No, Hashem, even Hashem
taught mankind you should be seek very good. Nasa, let's seek him. That was Derech Anava. That Rashi, the focus is on Anava.
Says over there that the person that
Godel should be miyayit with the katan. Yeah. Miyayit with the katan. But Hashem still has the say. Hashem makes the final decision.
Okay.
Okay, but it's
I know one Rosh Hashanah always sent two Talmid to start a new place.
Interesting. And they were partners?
Yeah.
Interesting. It's a very interesting idea. So then each one has to watch the back of the other. It's very interesting. Okay, let's see over here. This one, the Mitzvah says within that, Rashi, there is no Rashi in Pasuk Tezvav. Let's look at the Midrashim. Okay, I have here two midrashim. This one, now this, both midrashim, they're fascinating midrashim. They describe this, you would never guess, in reference to everyone's favorite topic, Shidduchim. They reference this, they contrast two Ishaya Tanakh. The first one contrasts, when you say the word Yashar, what does that conjure in your mind? Yashar? Yashar Be'inai? Shimshain. Shimshain Hagibar told his parents, Ma, I want to marry this girl. The mother says, but she's a shiksa. I don't care. Yasha Ve'enai. This is what I want to marry. I want to marry this Pelishti. It's a very bizarre thing. Shimshon Hagibar, he's one of the Shoftim. He did L'shem Shemayim in order to serve as a mole among the Pelishtim in order to learn all the secrets and to conquer the nation. After everything is said and done, it's still very strange, right? It's very hard for us to relate, but Shimshon Hagibar, Ishi HaTanach, we can't be masik who he was, his madrega. We can't be masik who he was, not for us to judge, not an accuser. But yet, he was the one that said to his parents, he said, Oysa Kachli, he said to his parents, I want that girl, get her from me. Ki hi Yosha Ve'enoi. She is Yosha in my eyes. So why don't you go get it yourself? Pick yourself up and go get the girl yourself. Obviously, in those days, even Shimshon Hagibar, with all his gevura, he can bring down the whole nation of the Pelishtim. He couldn't do a shidduch by himself. He couldn't. Ein chovu shmater atzmi meis. I came to shidduchim. He was helpless, like a child in a cradle, and he had to say to his mother, "Ma, you go to shul. You'll see this girl there. Go." All right. So they hung out. They probably hung out in shul. It's an amazing thing. No, Shimshon Hagibar. So go chaper for yourself. Go and just take her. No, I need my mother to help me. And he told his mother. He made a demand. Who do we contrast? Who is the opposite of Shimshon Hagibar? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, in this matter, is contrasted. He didn't do nothing. He sat home, and his parents said, don't take any girl from this city. There are a lot of girls here. We have a long list of girls in the neighborhood who want you. We don't want any of them. It's not for you. We want you to go back to Aram Naharayim. I want you to take a girl like your mother, right? That's what they learned. Yitzchak said to him, go back and take a girl like your mother. And Rivka said also, take a girl just like me. So he listened. Yaakov Avinu didn't have to listen. He's an adult. How old was he then?
84.
He got 63
when he went to
shul.
He was 77.
63 years old, and he's listening. And he's listening. This is the very beginning in Shidduchim when boys and girls they told some of them get very turned off when they discover that their counterpart is under the control of their parents. Whatever the parent says. So for some people it's a mild, some people it's a very big turnoff. So here, he listened. Yaakov Shashama Laatz Aviv, Shinema Vayishma Yaakov El Aviv El Imo. He listened to his parents, 63-year-old bachelor, listened to his parents and married the girl that they chose for him. So the Medrash over here says, this contrast of Shimshon versus Yaakov in regard to the world of Shidduchim is captured in this pasuk. The Derech Evil, the way of the fool, you're calling Shimshon a fool, that's pretty serious stuff. Okay, that's heavy-duty stuff to call Shimshon a fool. Shimshon Hagibar. Shimshon Hagibar, that's the Medrash. Shimshon Hagibar, Yashar Be'inav is Yashar in his eyes. This is the girl I want to marry. But V'shemeya le'etzo chacham, Yaakov is the chacham, he listened to his parents. Amazing, amazing Medrash. Now, what? Oh, the other version is Yaakov and Esav. Okay, version 2. Version 2 is, where is this? This is not God, this is a different, whole different Medrash, a whole different place. Yitzchak was older at that point. Yitzchak, Rivka told Yitzchak, Rivka had the pasuk, the first pasuk. Yitzchak had the
Ruach HaKadosh.
Sent to Eliezer.
Where does that fit in that he didn't go himself? I mean, you're talking about.
We're talking about next generation. We're talking about Yaakov and Yitzchak, next generation. Yaakov himself went to find a wife. Last week's parasha went to find Rachel and Leah.
Interesting. Generations later, you can.
Shimshon
to Yaakov.
A thousand years later.
So they don't want to contrast Yaakov to his father?
No. There was none of the contrast.
Because Yaakov also Yitzchak also married the girl that
Eliezer. We're not. The there wasn't. He told him what to do. There he was brought to him. There are some shidduchim where the kala comes to the chassan. the first we're talking about, the shidduchim where you go to the kala, and the shidduchim where the kala comes to you. If the kala comes to you, you're in trouble. What exactly? The kala came to Yitzchak, and therefore Yitzchak had to listen to his wife, and that's why the brachas went. The brachas went. But when you go to the kala, then you're the boss. All right, I am part of the Torah. That's right. Echanami. I'm not coming. Yeah, there are many dimensions, many angles to every single yisoid. But this is a interesting contrast. Now there's another medrash as Rabbi Michal pointed out. The medrash contrasts Yaakov to Esav. What does it say in when was it? Last 2 weeks ago. What does it say about Esav? Vayar Esav kiraos benos kenan b'nei Yitzchak aviv. That he saw that the fact that Yaakov Avinu sent Yaakov to find the Shechna Ram Naharaim, he was not satisfied with the collection of girls that were available locally. So, I see my father doesn't like these girls. So, Vayesav did the Zelbazach. Vayelech Esav el Yishmoel, Vayikach es Mochalas, Bas Yishmoel al Noshav lo Lisha. He took another wife. He took Mochalas al Noshav lo Lisha. Now, what was the sin? Now, so Rashi there says he didn't divorce the first wife. Shlei Gorash is good for Yimsech Livamas, so the Tsaras, perfect for the end of the Yoima. Shlei Girish Esarishinas, Elohisiv Tsar al Tsara. So this is, but Yaakov, Shmuel Eitzachoch, Hamza Yaakov, he listened by you, God. He listened by Yishma, by Yetzi Yaakov, by Yivka, by Mokoim. Okay, he lists. So the Medrash contrasts. I don't have clarity in the exact contrast, but we're calling Esav the Avil. The reason why he's called the Avil was because Yashar Be'enav, he took a wife in a way that was not proper. It was Yashar Be'enav. He found a girl that was Yashar Be'enav, and he took her for without taking into consideration the consequences of his actions. What are the consequences? He already has a wife. And by taking another wife, he's just ruining it for everyone. Tsaras are not good. Tsaras is not good for the old wife, and it's not good for the new wife either. So he is an evil. He is a fool. He did what was Yosha Be'enov by taking another wife without the consultation of his advisors. If he would have sought advice, they would have told him, listen, you don't just take another wife without taking into consideration with the other wives.
He's trying to look good for his father.
Whereas Yaakov...
He had a plan.
Yaakov was totally under the influence, was under the control of his father Yitzchak, and therefore Yitzchak fell, and he also ended up taking two wives. So I mean, there's a little bit. He ended up taking Rachel and Leah, and that obviously wasn't 100%.
I read.
Yeah.
The Ramban brings down that actually, he said, but what she had this woman.
Right, in a chanam, it's correct. Alright, can you plug it in? It's not plugged in. Why? Alright, he'll come back, I'll plug it in. Alright, leave it, we'll come back, I'll plug it in. Okay, don't worry, he likes to go on battery power. Don't worry, we'll come back. All right, let's go further. So this is a contrast. I don't really have clarity 100%, but basically we kept contrasting Yaakov versus Esav. Esav did not consult, and that led to problems. Yaakov was under the guide of a madrich, his father Yitzchak, and Rivka, and therefore he followed their advice, and that was what we call him a shemel le'etzah chacham. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Zayin Evel, a foolish person, Bayom Yivodak Haso, on the day that he makes a mistake, it's known as anger. V'choseh kolon Arum. Arum here does not mean, Arum means naked. But that's not what it means over here. Arum over here means clever. Okay, Arum normally here means like a clever man, Arum. Arum, Mikol HaChayos. So here also means that a clever man knows how to cover up his shame.
How about a devious
person, but that has in English has a negative connotation. I don't think here it has any negative. It means a clever person. devious, I think we, but I don't think that's what it means here. Aru means a good man. He's a good man, but he's clever. He's a pikeach. Being a wise man gives you a long way in this world. And he knows that when he has something shameful, he doesn't brag about it. He doesn't let people know. It's not always a good idea that people should know all of you, know your dirty business. No, you don't have to hang up your dirty laundry in the street for everyone to watch. We live in a world of transparency, transparency, transparency. And many people have commented that too much transparency is no good. There has to be a balance between transparency and not everyone at institutions. Now, you don't have to know, the world doesn't have to know exactly how much everyone in the institution is making. You have a yeshiva. Today, it's like public knowledge. Today, any yeshiva that pays taxes, you can go online, you can know exactly how much every yeshiva is getting. Every member of the staff here. What? Off the books. On the books. On the books. But even what's on the books. It's no one's business. Why do people have to know? What are they? The CEOs of Fortune 500 companies? It's no one's business. But that's the way we live in today. We live in today, a world of transparency. Everyone has to know everyone else's business. It's not necessarily a good thing. It says to Arum, a clever person, he's chayse kolon, he can cover up his shame. Not everything, it's pleasant that everyone should know what's going on, but an evil, a foolish person, bayom, immediately, the day when something shameful happens, yivoda, it's known kaso, his anger. He gets upset. His anger represents kas, is considered here a mashal, just a mashal for a kolon, a shameful thing. There's no greater, there's no more shameful thing in this world than the inability to control your emotions. When things do not go well and you break out in anger, that is a synonym for kolon, and it's well known to the world immediately. As soon as he something goes wrong, let's look at them to the star pasuk tezayin bayom bo bayom, on that very day shekoyes al mi. When he gets angry, bayom hazeh yivada kaso, on that very day it's already posted online, the whole world to see. The yisparsem bo bo'olam, the whole world knows. Ki miyod yiskoytet imo, when a person finds something goes wrong, he immediately quarrels with his adversary. Viva zehu, and he disgraces him. Period. And that's not in his benefit. Avol ha'orum im ki yichas, even if he gets angry, koisehu es ha'koloin, he covers, conceals his shame, v'lo yivaze esriehu, he does not embarrass his friend, miyod, immediately, but pirsum in public. Rashi, pasik tezayin, evil b'yom yivoda kaso, b'yom shu koyes, on the day when this foolish man gets angry, bo bayom hodia kaso, he makes it known his anger. Shu miskare umchorif, when someone does an avla to this person, he gets angry, he does not keep his anger to himself, he lets the whole world know about his anger, umicharef lechavero, and he curses his friend barabim. Ve'ein ma'atze l'rucho, and he has no restraints. Nothing holds him back. And that is obviously not a good thing. Think before you get angry. Publicly, at least publicly. Aval ha'arum. But the clever man, Kaisa Koloin, he conceals his shame. When he gets angry, when the emotions are burning within him, he does not immediately express his anger. Ve'einim mar lariv, he's not swift to quarrel. Period. Umedrish agada, what is the Hebrew meaning of this medrish? This refers to Adam Harishain. Adam Harishain did a shameful act by eating from the Eitz Hadas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is, if I'm not mistaken, here is the Arum. Hashem is the most clever. You see over here, it's a reference to a very unusual medrash that we're calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Arum. Isn't that amazing? We call the Nachash the Arum. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the Arum, because Arum doesn't necessarily mean something negative, it means clever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate degree of cleverness, has the ultimate degree of cleverness, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he concealed Adam Arishon's shame by allowing him to live for a very long time, for 930 years, even though he was meant to die bo bayam. It was known his shame. Arum, Hashem is the ultimate Arum. Lo ratzel shaches b'yosaf. He did not want to destroy the world on the first day. Nemeila, what did he do? Kisa kiloina. He covered, concealed his shame. V'docha l'gzeirasa miyom shel adam liyom sheloi. Hashem shifted the definition of the word yom. Yom, instead of a day of a human being, Hashem changed to a day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is 1,000 years. Shu elef shana. Adam did not die for approximately 1,000 years. Adam was meant to live for 1,000 years. He gave away 70 years to David. So This is the interpretation of this very interesting Medrash. Rashi quotes that Medrash. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Zayin Yefich Emuna Yagid Tzedek. A person who brings forth Emuna. Yefich is to speak. Yefiach means to blow. Blowing is always an expression of speech. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas. Chayim Hashem blew the spirit of life into men. Vayiyadim l'nefesh chaya. L'ruach memalala, a speaking creature. Yefiach amuna yagid tzedek. A man whose essence is to speak faith will yagid. Yagid is, will elaborate tzedek righteousness. But the aid shikarim, a witness of falsehood, mirma, is nothing other than a source of deceit. Mitzudos pasuk yitzayin, yefiach amuna hamurgol ledaber dvara beamuna. So according to the mitzudos, he's telling us something very interesting. Yefiach means murgol. It doesn't just mean a word here, a word there. To blow, I guess it means a person is continuously breathing. And when you breathe, you blow air. You absorb air, and you blow air. So we want to talk about an idea of something that you're accustomed to. We express it with this beautiful mashal of a yefiach. Hamurgul adabed dvar be'emunah, kol shekein be'eduso. Here in the Tzudos adds in Yagid. Yagid, though, here refers specifically to v'derech pshat, testimony. When he's called to come to court and testify on behalf of one of his friends in an event, you can be certain that he will say the truth. Yagid in court. Be'eduso yagid et tzedek. Av hamurgul adabed shkodim, but a person who's murgul to say lies, im kihema b'dvar mishol ma'abgach, even though the person he says lies, nonsense. What's the weather outside? It's so cloudy outside, even though it's raining. He says he lies, white lies. That's what the Mitzvah says. He says white lies, but a person is accustomed to small little lies. Shalabkach im kol zem nevertheless kodov hadavar asher gam bedavar ha'idus. When it comes to serious matters, you have to be chayish mirma b'fif. He'll say the worst lies. The harbe yesh lacha b'davar. You should be very careful. Be very careful. Lach b'dvarav to investigate his words. I remember once told you that always made an impression upon me that when I was in 10th grade, there was a boy in my class that he asked the Rebbe Akasha, learning the Tosfos, and he asked him Akasha, and the Rebbe right away, he figured it out that there's no way in the world this boy can ask this Kasha. And he right away knew the Kasha was a Kasha from a Rishon, from a Rashba, and he right away said, that's not your Kasha. You saw that Kasha. You plagiarized. You saw that Kasha.
Give credit for that.
And he admitted, he admitted, and he made the Rebbe really, really went to town. I don't know why, he really flipped out, the Rebbe, and he said to the class, someone that today, in 10th grade, is willing to steal, to be a ganef on the cash of the Rashba, will one day grow up and go steal $1 million and sit in jail. The bad midas start right here in the classroom. And you think, so you become, you steal a Tesis Kasha and learning, or so no, I'm a Ghana, but it's in Torah. Torah you can steal. Yeah. Watch out, the bad midos, they start little things and develop into very big things. So here he goes on to say, what? The guy's a good guy. Don't worry, the guy's a good guy. He's not a Rosh Hashiva.
And he replaced his
Rosh Hashiva. He's not a Rosh Hashiva. He's in business. As far as I know, I see him every so often. As far as I know, he's doing very well. Baruch Hashem, he has very good children. His children are all mitzuyanim, and no, it's impressive. You talk about guys, guys in my class. I don't know all their kids, but they're all very young still. The kids, so you don't really know, but it's interesting. Who has children that are mitzuyanim, and other than that, the Baruch Hashem, you're all good, and this one, Baruch Hashem, he has from the top. He really did very well. So. You don't know. You don't know how Hashem runs. You don't know how Hashem runs his world. Okay, so here it says, that's what Rashi Ovid says. Im ki heimo bedvarm shol ma bekach. Ma bekach. So what's the big deal? So I stole the Rashi's kasha. Big deal. I pulled it off as mine. I pulled it off as mine. You know what I said about Rabbanim? Rabbanim, again, they give a drash and shul. And then someone says the rabbi, that's not your drash. That's not your idea. I have at home a sefer, this sefer, and another rabbi said it. So the rabbi said to him, "Oh, you saw in that sefer? Yeah, you're right. I got it from that sefer. But listen, Hagoynif min aganov potter. Well, you think the rabbi there, he had that idea? He also took it from somewhere else. Okay, so now this is what it says here. It's not simple of Yeshlo. Ma bekach, it starts out. Ma bekach, the Pasuk says the ultimate is going to be, it's going to be a mirma. Okay, now there is just one thing I saw in the Gro. I think this is the Gro. I saw this in the art scroll. He says here, the eid shikari mirma. He just points out that the eid is singular, and shikarim is blush and rabim. And one person can do a lot of damage. It's not an eight sheker. Eight sheker, you have to embellish this with the mitzudos. The mitzudos is a person that's smurgled to speak lies when he's an aid, when he's a single witness. He's not just going to present one piece of testimony that's a lie from beginning to end. No, from beginning to end, you break up his testimony. It's lie after lie after lie after lie. It's one thing is one lie. Okay, everything fits. Just one detail that doesn't fit. One lie. But here it's an aid shikarim. Once you lose it, it's a slippery slope and you can't control yourself. The Gro, I think, says something along those lines.
You have another lie to cover up the
lie. Exactly. And then another lie to cover another lie. Before you get lost, you're tangled in a web of lies. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi says, Yafiach Amun Yagid Sedek, Misha Medabi Amun Magid Bidin Eidos Sedek, Lizko Sazaka. Rashi is learning the Pshad of Zach, like them to do thing over your testimony. A person that's Merugal, a person that's accustomed to speak with truth, will be confident that he'll be a gift, will give a testimony, they'll be honest. But the Rashi does not follow through, but obviously the end is Veit Shekhar Mirma, the testimony of a liar is nothing more than deceit, and it starts out with Dvarim Shel Ma Bekach. Pasuk Yud Ches. Yesh Boite Kimad Kiros Choref Uleshoin Chacham Marpe. There are people that stab. Boite literally means speak. Their speech, Boite, it's an unusual word. Look at Rashi in the Mitzuda Sion, Boite Inyan Dibur, Kimo Levate Sifas, and the only place in the Torah where this word appears, that's why there's some of the Drush that connect us into that Inyan, is by the Parsha of Nidarim. There are many words in the Torah that are used to describe speech. Dibur, Amira, Kriya, okay, those are just three. And now we have a new word, Levate Sifosayim, an utterance of words. Levate Visfosayim. It's a whole new word, which means to bring forth speech. Similarly, the difference is that the difference between Levate Sifosayim verse, the word Amira, Dibur, and Kriya, it's lip service. It has no connection to a person's inner self. When you have a Dibur and you have Amira, these are words, these are very powerful words. They convey emotion. Dibur is a harsh word. There are words coming out of my mouth, but there's the inflection, the emotion, it's sharp. Dvarim koshim kigidim, like sinews. Chazal always used that expression, it's harsh. There's emotion that is captured in the word Dibur. Amira, soft. Koisomru lebeis Yaakov. To girls, noshim. Softness, emotion, rachamim. There's the heart. You can hear the person's neshama coming out in the words. Kriya, a calling that has a connotation of kirva. I'm calling you to come close. Yikrael Moshe. These are words which, it's not just the words. Sometimes the words are not important. It's just the emotion. They say so many times about the big Balin Musar. What did they say about big Darshanim? You go to, I had this experience. Certain Darshanim I used to go to years ago, listen to them on tape or go to them, and I was like blown away. And then years later, I got a transcript of that exact speech. And I remember the speech. And I read it, and I said to myself, this is so shallow. There's nothing really here. Why then, years ago, when I was present, did it make such... Exactly. There's the emotion that come out. They say this about the big Balei Musar. The big Balei Musar, some of the things that you read from the big Balei Musar, the classics, you read the Maimarim. They're not very exciting. They just say Maimarim Chazal, and they do a little vart here, a little vart there. And yet, you listen to the Talmidim describe what it was like when they were present, listening to these shmuzim that are now printed in the Sefer. It literally changed their life. And what's the pshat? The pshat is not always the dibur, the words, it's the emotion that is found in the words. So here we have a new word, which basically means it's words with void, devoid of any emotion, any inner meaning. And the proof is, that's why this word is used for hamidar, in the parasha of the person makes a vow, and what's the very next thing? Uh-oh, I have charata. I changed my mind. My husband, my father, or myself, we're going to go to the Chacham, we're going to go and have the vow annulled. Really, when you made the vow, it really had meaning to you. You wouldn't go be so quick to come and just be mevatel, the neder mevatel. Obviously, the words were just lip service. It had no meaning. That's why this expression is used, yesh boite kimat kiros charev. The word boite means you say words. Words come out of your mouth. You're sloppy. And even though you're sloppy and the words not coming with emotion, they can stand, they can destroy another person. They can destroy even worse than the stabbing of a sword. Words that are equivalent to madkros means the stabbing of a sword. But on the other hand, ulashoin chachamim, the language. The language of the chachamim, marpe, loshon over here obviously means language that does not debate it, it's from the pnim. In its marpe, they are words of healing. They can achieve great things. Let's take a look at the Mitzvah Pasuk. Yitches yesh baita, yesh mi yivate visvasav. He can bring forth words, even though he's sloppy. He's not really thinking what he's saying. He doesn't realize what he's saying. But there are people that are listening. And the yazig bezeh, he could destroy the world. Ki'ilu matkir becher v'ziv, he's standing with a sword. V'hu ha-medaber lashon hara. Umotzi shemra. This is mamish gold pasuk for the sugya. I'm sure the Chavos Chaim quotes a million times for lashon umotzi shemra. Ulashayin aval imrei lashon chachamim hima oy lamarpe. They are healing. Ki b'mesek imrei noyam, with the sweetness of his pleasant words, yasis adam l'shuvah, he can inspire a person to shuva v'shav v'rafalon. He will be healed from his chatoim. Rashi, yesh baite medaber. The word baite means to speak more. Levate v'sfasayim kemat kreis chodev, the stabbing of a sword. Shemisach seich esabriyos, you confuse. You confuse. Rashi for some reason is using this word to confuse people with your words. V'goyim lohem l'harog, am I doing so? You cause people to be killed through the confusion. Well, the shayin chachamim. What?
He incites them.
Mesachzik means to incite them, and then mesachzik is like when branches are intertwined. It usually means confusion. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm making a mistake. I was under the impression mesachzik is an expression which means the cloud to confuse.
Yeah, not a discussion.
An argument.
Sichsuch. So maybe that's really what the discussion is. You're intermingling in a negative way. There's too much. There's fighting. There's you're combative. You're okay. So okay, we'll learn that there is a shemesachsech esabrios. You're causing strife. Okay, we'll learn it was strife. V'goyim lechem leharog. V'loshni chacham hamevi l'shol minam chaveroi marpe le. Lemavate hahu, to the person that said lemavate hahu, that individual who says words of chachamim, it is a source of healing. Okay, the mitzudos. Okay, there are a lot of midrash. Let's do. We don't have time for all of them. Let's just start with one.
I just wonder if it might be related to
dagger. Yeah, it has to be. Look at the mitzudos. Sion kimat kiros ein techiva, to thrust. Bedover ma, with an object. Bedover ma, to stab with an object. Any object. Kmo, kol hanimsa, anything that is found, you don't care. Any living person will be stabbed. Anyone that is found will be dead. Okay. The medrash, let's do one quick medrash of here. This pasuk is reference to a person who makes nidar. A person who utters vows. He's yesh baita. He is stabbing himself. Why is he stabbing himself? So the medrash gives the mushroom. Let's make it. I'm not going to eat this apple. I'm making it there. What have you done? What have you accomplished? Manafshach. What's wrong with the apple? It's a good apple. If you fulfill your vow, if you fulfill your vow, you've tortured yourself. Why? Why would you want to torture yourself? Hashem didn't tell you to do this. There are enough things in the Torah that you're not allowed to do. So why did you take upon yourself to go and make a vow that you're not going to eat the apple? Why did you deprive yourself? So by depriving yourself, you have stab yourself in the chest. You've hurt yourself through the denial. And if you are unfaithful to your vow, I make a neder, I'm not going to eat the apple. And then, you know, I don't forget, I'm a Baal Taiva, I eat the apple. So you've done a terrible sin, and you're going to have to pay the price for that sin. So again, you've stabbed yourself. So man of shach, by being mevate, yesh boite, whatever you exactly, yesh boite, there are people that open up their mouth, and they say stupid things, and by doing so, they're kimat kereis choref, they've stabbed themselves, no matter what. Ulashon chacham and marpe, what's the solution? Go to the chacham, and you'll go to the chacham, you'll tell me you have charata, and they will heal you by being matir your neder. Okay, the chachamim. What?
You take that view. It's like, is he coming? Oh, I can kill us because I can always go to the chacham.
No, the chacham won't necessarily. It's very hard. The chacham has to find the heter. If a person is very sloppy, the chacham will not be matir the neder. If a sloppy person comes and he says the chacham has to make an, that's why you go to the chacham, you have to make an investigation. We have a pesach. Why? Why do you have charata? And the chacham has to analyze the situation, and it has to be sincere. I had a good reason why I made the neder, and at this point in time, I cannot be true to my word because due to the circumstances, then it'll be matter. But if the chacham discovers through his conversation he's a sloppy person, he's just a big talker, the chacham will not be matter. He'll suffer the consequence. He'll be usher. So it's not always so. You can't rely upon the chacham. Why are you being matter? You come to the chacham. The chacham will say, why are you going to be matter neder? I relied on you. I made the neder knowing that I can come to you to be matter the neder. Is that what you're saying?
No,
so the person will say, sorry buddy, that's not the way it works.
No, the apple example is like,
that's the example, that's the marriage gives that example. Okay, that's one marriage. Okay, I just want to conclude with one story out of time. We'll conclude with one story I saw recently. This last week was the 75th yard site of Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz. Baruch Ber Leibowitz. And it was a fascinating story how they discovered this kever. It's a whole story. Can you imagine? For 75 years, they did not know exactly where he was buried. He was buried right before the war began, and he had to be buried very quickly. I didn't get a chance to read the whole story, but it's an interesting story how now, accidentally through whole crazy story, they found where his kever was, and they put him in matseva. And many people went to his matseva. To the Hakamas HaMatseva 75 years since his Patira. So there's a lot of writing, a lot of people telling stories about Baruch Ber. So there's a very, very interesting story someone told me yesterday that one of his Rebbetzin at one point went away on vacation and he was all alone. And the Talmidim took care of him. So the Talmud, one of his Talmidim said, what would the Rebbe like for dinner? Lilchik Sofleshiks. So Baruch Ber said, he said in Yiddish, I don't know the Yiddish, he says, I love fleishiks. Now, Baruch Ber was a very holy person. You learn about Baruch Ber, there's a kodesh, a tremendous masmid, goina, asar ha-Torah. And it bothered the Talmud very much. How could the Rebbe say, I love fleishiks? It doesn't sound right for a person of his stature to say such a thing. So it took a very long time for the Talmud to muster up enough courage to ask Rav Baruch Ber, what do you mean, I love fleishiks? So he said to him, when I eat milchiks, I can eat fleishiks right away. There's no limitation. I eat milchiks, so 5 minutes later I can eat fleishiks, wash in my mouth. But when I eat fleishiks, it's by me a kabolas ol malchus shemayim. I can't eat milchiks for 6 hours. I put myself in this matzav where I feel the discipline, the yoke of Torah is upon me. What's holding me back? I eat milchiks, I eat fleishiks, but I can't eat. If I wasn't a shomer Torah mitzvahs, I would be permitted to eat whatever I want. But the Torah said, Rabbanan said, 6 hours. I have such hanah from this Kabbalah, that's why every time I sit down and eat a meal of fleishiks, I have hanah. It's an amazing insight. Who thinks like that today? Okay, why do we think like that today? I don't think so. But if a Talmud Chacham, such a mahal, such a machshava, just when I was reading this pasuk appearing, it struck me. Yesh boite kimat kreis chadev ulashen chacham and marpe. Rav Baruch Ber is mamish vekert. He is the lashon chacham and marpe. The boite, sloppy person. here's an apple. I don't want to eat the apple. I'm making neder. I'm not eating the apple. You're a shoyter. Kimat can I give stick? Who told you? Who? You're making up your own Torah. It doesn't say in the Torah you can't eat the apple. You mean makabel and neder? The Gemara says it's a terrible thing to make nedarim for no reason. Nedarim are reserved for an eighth tzara. They're reserved. You had last week's parsha. No, you didn't. The eighth tzara. You don't just stop making neder. Nedarim are for special situations. A shoyter. Kimat can I schoref? What are you doing? What are you doing? One of shach, if you eat it, you don't eat it. But l'shon chachamim, this story fits very well. I love fleishiks. What would you like for dinner? Milchiks or fleishiks? Fleishiks. Because fleishiks, it's not me, it's the Torah. The Torah is speaking. And the Torah is going to tell me now to makabel an oil, a yolk of Yira Shemayin, not to eat milchiks for 6 hours. U'l'shon chachamim marpeh. I'm not making a neder. You're asking me, I have a choice? My lashon is, I select fleishiks in order to have the same Kabbalah like the person who made the neder. But I'm doing it in a way where it's marpe, where this is an expression of Yira Shemayim. So it fits very well, Hashkach, I felt fits very well into this pasuk here. Okay, let us